even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 762, Exorcist, Daydream Believer.
You wish.
Oh, that would be the best.
That would be a very interesting movie.
They
should have made a horror movie with all the monkeys.
Well, they did have an episode where there was like a Frankenstein's monster type character.
And one of them was in Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
It wasn't one in a house. He's a sheriff, right?
He runs the principal, maybe?
No, he's selling. He runs the gun shop.
Oh, that's right. Sells a gun to Sam Loomis.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that. All right,
Mickey Dolenz.
That's right. The last one left alive.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He's the only one left,
and he's
at the Family Arena 1 week from last Friday.
Good plug.
Yeah,
well done.
Yes, because we have so
for the St. Charles listeners.
Yes, for all the St. Louis listeners. So.
I'm willing to bet we don't have a lot of St. Charles listeners.
I think we probably don't.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
This is Tom. And joining us once again is Matt F. Basler. Did I say it right that time? No. Basler.
Never have.
Just think of the way you're gonna say it, and then do it the other way.
But then I get in my head,
right?
And then I'm like. Boy. And I flip it back.
Did I do it the right way? Did I not do it the right way?
Double negative.
What's the right way? Who can say?
You can. It's your name.
There's the way I pronounce it, but that doesn't make it right.
I've been thinking about that lately, though, because, you know, if enough people start saying words and then they just add words to the dictionary. So I do really think it's like, what makes it right when it can get adopted or accepted?
When it's somebody's name.
I know, but names even change over the years. Like, they used to say it this way based on whatever, and then that gets
lost. At some
lost.
Point, it went from Scorsese to Scorsese.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. I guess it did, didn't it?
Yeah. Or, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember when it was Rick Ocasek, and then at some point, it was like, no, it's Rick Ocasek. Or maybe I'm doing that backwards. I don't know.
And James Brolin went to James Brolin.
It never was a thing.
Changed and was totally accepted.
No, that's, you know, I know it's a real nightmare for you, but...
Oh, man, that's a deep cut that never gets old.
These guys have f***ed me up so bad. I have, like, trauma, and not trauma, but every time someone says one of these words wrong now, it's just like this sharp stabbing to my head where I'm like, oh, I can't believe they say it that way.
It's like when someone from St. Louis goes to another city and someone says, Warsh?
Yeah. What, do you got an R in that word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Missouri.
Missouri.
That'll even allow... Yeah. That doesn't bother me so
much. But the Warsh.
Warsh is a lot. Like, and if you watch Roseanne, John Goodman says Warsh.
Oh, does he really?
He used to.
That's talking about, like, Yeah. Her stand-up special?
You wouldn't believe
the Fox Nation? I watched that.
I would say, speaking of adopted pronunciations, though, more people say night mirror the way I used to
I gotta
say
tell
it,
you, though,
nightmare. I'm telling you.
What? I hear it. I do hear it more that I've called
started
you.
To correct me. Now everyone, if you listen to podcasts, YouTube videos, people say nightmare.
Nightmare.
That's just, and that's how
it's
I always.
Nightmare.
I know. You're nuts, but I didn't know you thought everyone
shared
your
delusion. It's bizarre because now it bothers me so much. I'm like, yeah, that's how
I
always heard it.
It's like when you buy a new car and then you see that car everywhere. Yeah, right. You're like, oh man, I didn't know there were that many Traverses out there.
I mean, it's unbelievable how many people say nightmare. And now I'm like, oh my god, they say that. Like you've probably
you loser.
Yeah,
you needed friends to beat it out of you.
Oh, so anyway,
to publicly shame you on a podcast about how you say a word.
Yes. Thank you for the tough psychiatry over
tough
here.
Tough love, baby.
We're here to help.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's the worst when a spouse has a word that they can't get right.
They just
you're trying to be like,
oh, okay,
honey, like that's how you say that.
Yeah,
you use that word.
It's very delicate to approach it.
Yeah. It's even worse when it's your safe word.
That's the problem. That's, you're just
like, no, you know, that's not it.
Yeah, I'm not. You didn't say it right.
What'd you say? No,
sorry.
No, sorry. It's the only way you'll learn.
No, I'm sorry. We were looking for the moops.
Yeah,
the moops.
So before we dig in, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart. I have to train myself to not say Google.
Oh, is that gone?
They're getting rid of Google Podcasts.
I went on Google Music, and first thing that pops up was like that little sticky note that's like, oh, you can find podcasts here. So they're trying to direct people that way.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you can also find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Don't forget I'm skipping ahead. We have League of Show Sharers. It's what it's called, and you should share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Richard Kratzer, Lane LeVanway, Brendan McGuckin, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Chris Falls, Julian Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Ralph Tribble, Glenn Cougar, Melon Brewer, Tom Dowdy, Travis Tewitt, Josh Rosen, Dissect That Film, Christopher Rex, Heather Sachs, David Rojas, Spoiler Piece Theater, Invasion of the Remake, Ryan Terry, Ronnie Castle, Geek to Me Radio, In Session Film, Binge Movies, Nostalgia Cast, Colby Mack, Batman, Rye Guy, Mike, and Oscar, and Feelin' Film. One noticeably absent.
I was busy.
One noticeably absent League of Show Sharer would, of course, be Joe.
Could have avoided the Brad Hyen rule. I had a long weekend. Mm-hmm. All right.
Very long that you couldn't just be like, sure.
Yep. I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, yeah.
I have to warn the people who share on Twitter. I don't know how much longer I'll be able
to
count you because...
What's Twitter?
I refuse to call it the other thing.
Yeah, not even so you can watch X videos?
Yeah. No, that's a different website.
That's what they're called.
No, it's not.
Yes, the videos on there are called X videos.
Like, it's amazing how dumb that son of a bitch is. Like, it's just like, oh, we have a format that's working. I'm going to fuck it up.
And the streaming, because the videos, he wants to stream video games, and he was streaming himself playing Elden Ring or whatever, and it's called X-streaming, or X-streams, and it's like, that. How is that not going to get confused? I would like to look up some X-streams, please. Like,
it's like when YouTube came out with YouTube Red.
Right. Yeah, and right, like, right. So does he want to turn it into, like, Twitch?
Yeah,
he didn't know what
it's going to be. Everything
he wants to take over everything from everybody.
Yeah. Oh my god! It's
what a dessert moron. Topping! It's everything. So, when I go to look at who has retweeted an episode, I can
reposted.
Know,
yeah,
sure. Look, yeah. You might be getting a check from Elon, but I'm not. So it's still Twitter. I can no longer see it on the desktop version. I can only see it on my phone. Mm. So it makes me wonder if it's going away.
You just have to pay for the feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, god.
Now there's going to be 3 tiers of payments they have.
It's getting less and less even worth being on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really only even log in anymore to do the leisure.
Right.
Yeah.
Done. So anyway, you can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers. We're for $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you more. Also, don't forget, you can watch these things on YouTube or Y videos.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I think they forgot. smash that subscribe button and watch these videos. Yeah. 50 views ain't cutting it.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in.
Man, so I think...
I cannot wait.
It's okay. Admit it. These movies are bad.
These movies are not bad. The first one is a masterpiece.
Oh.
Well, yeah. I don't think anyone is saying The Exorcist is a bad movie.
The third one
I might say it.
Are you serious?
So I just watched...
It's a little slow by today's standards.
I just
watched
The Exorcist, so I couldn't remember if I've seen it or not. And as I'm watching, like, certain scenes seem familiar, so sure. I can't...
Which version did you watch? There's two cuts.
Max, where you go to watch or whatever.
Was there a spider walk?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You watched the original theatrical.
Yeah, okay. There's the version you've never seen, which is more in depth.
So the deal is, like, I'm sure I've seen The Exorcist in middle school or whatever, like, as I was finding horror movies, but I could not remember it. And a lot of these scenes were familiar, but I did not remember how slow and boring the movie is.
I think that movie's amazing.
There's really not much that happens until you get to the demon stuff. And it's like, yeah, for the time, the effects and all that, okay, they're impressive. But man, I think that movie's a slog. I think it's uninteresting. I don't care about any of the religious stuff. I don't think I like these movies because they're just the whole subject matter of demons and God and possess, like, none of it appeals to me at all.
I think the first one is amazing.
And you also have to look at it in historical context.
That's
in terms
true.
Of, like, it's 1973. There was nothing like that.
Yeah. Right. That's the thing is I watch it. I'm like, okay, for significance, like, that was crazy for the time. Like, I can appreciate all that. But I also will say, does a movie hold up or not? I do not think The Exorcist holds up at all.
I respectfully disagree.
I saw it late as well. And I think I don't like it as much as I would have if I saw it very young.
But
I think it's very good.
It's like what Tom always says about the movies I love, you know? Yeah. So I'm going to turn that around and say, you know, you may think that
I didn't watch that until I was 18. I refused to watch it until I was like 18.
Well, because it's R-rated and you follow the rules.
I follow the rules.
Yes. Yeah.
But people say it's a masterpiece. People say it's amazing and people think they have to say it's amazing and everyone just knows it's amazing. But coming to it later, or at least from what I can remember, I'm like, I would never watch this movie again.
Fantastic. But I think the third one is also insanely underrated.
I think the third may be the best one. I saw that first.
I can understand that.
And I think more of the detective stuff and all that, I think that's probably the best one.
And the only ones I've seen are 1 and 3. I've never seen any.
Two is... It's crazy.
Uniquely an awful film.
What makes it so bad?
It's because, so it goes back to Reagan.
Right.
And,
but she has good powers now. I watched a little YouTube video. She apparently is like able to. She has supernatural powers.
I think I've only seen it once.
And you know because they tell you. She puts on this like head thing. They're like doing tests, right? Yeah. And she's kind of she'll be making these faces like, ooh. And then the doctor's going like, yeah, she's like fighting a demon in there.
Yeah, they're saying like that Pazuzu like buried himself in her psyche. And like,
and you're like, well, cool. Can we see?
Yeah.
No, the doctor will tell you about it.
The priest gets hooked up to like a Doc Brown headgear.
Yeah, yeah,
and
they both
can like communicate, and the priest sees there's a demon in there.
Yeah, it's.
And then apparently, the demon's doing all this crazy stuff and attacking the priest. And then Reagan comes in and is like, I'm magic now and can cure him. I don't know.
Which I thought was going to happen in this movie.
Her mom's magic now.
Yeah.
Reaching her hands out.
God. So there's that, the third one, and then there's two cuts of Exorcist Beginning. There's the Rennie Harlan version that I think got released in theaters, and then there's a second version that's a completely different title.
And I think Rennie Harlan's was released first, made second?
Yes.
Or, right?
Yeah, that's fourth
they
movie.
Shelved it or something?
Well, it was... a mess. So they went back and recut and reshot. So there's Exorcist the Beginning, and then there's Dominion, which are, it's the same movie, it's the same premise, but they're two very different movies. So, and I think you can only find Dominion. Like, you can find the other one, but Dominion's the one that's readily
available. Watch X videos.
Yes, right.
That's where they keep it.
And then they say Dominion, they do the thing where like, oh, Beginning sucked, but Dominion's actually good.
Right.
But
is Jurassic World Dominion better or Exorcist Dominion?
Exorcist Dominion?
Yeah, I'd probably...
That's a blow bar.
Probably admit that.
But I don't think Dominion's very good.
It's not.
It's just better.
I will say, I do like the idea of a Father Mirren, origin story. Like, I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah, so apparently he almost died during an exorcism in both versions. Like, he grew up in, like, there were...
Are you about Dominion? Or
well,
the
like, they go to his flashbacks. Both of them apparently have very similar...
By Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. And so he's grows up around... He's in another country, I can't remember, but there's Nazis there. It's like Nazi...
Yeah,
America.
No, this is before.
This is before.
This is before we had Nazis.
And so the Nazis force him to make a decision that he either has to pick 10 villagers to die or all
be
the villagers
of the house.
Yeah,
or all the villagers die. So he has to pray and like make this decision. It's either 10 or all. I guess it's kind of like the railroad.
They're all tied up to a trolley.
Ride the trolley. Yeah. And so he has to make the decision. He decides, but then after that horrible thing, he renounces his faith and then goes on to be a archaeologist. And that's where you see the flashback in the very first Exorcist movie.
Of him like seeing Pazuzu's statue and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's the show.
Is the show supposed to be like...
It's like a reboot. It's a complete reboot. I think the first season is like the movie. Like it's the two priests...
One cup.
One communion cup, sometimes. I mean, they
one chalice.
One chalice, yeah. And then the second, like, it's basically kind of like a remake of The Exorcist, and then the second season is different, but it's the same two
Can
priests.
I just say while I'm thinking about it?
Well, you know, maybe you should try a TV show, because... It's probably like what, like 6 or 7 hours. So if they take that same story and make it slower, you might enjoy that. Kevin.
Yeah, right.
I just want to say that every time they say the body and the blood in this movie, I was thinking the body and the blood. Let the body and the blood.
So I think the first fourth of this movie is really good. I think it's got a good setup.
I like the idea.
It's better than the last two Halloween movies.
It feels like you're finally catching on to this David Gordon Green guy.
Well, it's insane that dude made Halloween 2018. Because I do think that movie is phenomenal.
That movie's great.
And I think the opening part of Kills is phenomenal.
What do you think of Halloween Ends?
I think it's a terrible movie, but I enjoy it because I'm a homer for Halloween.
Getting closer.
We're just beating Joe into submission for...
I do not like the Corey
Halloween
thing.
Ends,
I don't...
It, for Joe, it's like your little brother. It's okay for you to make fun of that movie, but it's not okay for other
nobody
people
nobody else
to
can make fun of that
or
movie.
Or when you're going, man, I hate that guy. It's like, he's my brother, man.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a lot, and I think there's Patreons. There are some really good ideas in Halloween Ends, and I think
And the other kills.
Yeah. Sure.
Like they both are good premises.
But they should have went with Corey somehow becoming the new Michael. I don't think Michael should have existed. Like,
Kevin, can we... You want to do a Halloween Patreon
episode? Are you kidding me? Yes, I do.
There are so many good Halloween Ends with Corey had, and I think the things they're like, the town and what they've been through.
I think
there
the idea
so
of
ideas
like,
in the...
I think in both movies, I think there's a lot there.
Well, that second movie of them just like walking around at airport all like
that was ridiculous.
That second one is
but
so
I do,
bad.
But
I
do
movie...
like the idea of the town kind of like being like, that's it, we're done. Like, we're done. We're not letting this thing...
But you'd be messed up and then another kid comes along and then they kind of pin him with the crazy killer and then him dealing with all that and him kind of going into this like repressed state.
When he snapped that kid in half off the...
And then him having to live with that.
Okay. The opening of Halloween Kills is great. And I think if somebody were to edit the beginning...
Which one is which? I can't remember, honestly.
Halloween Kills is the second one.
The middle one.
Okay.
Yeah. Ends is the one where it ends.
It actually... Okay.
So yeah, the opening credits...
Cheat for you then.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The opening 20 minutes of that is the... the two sheriffs, like Michael walking through the city.
Right.
It's the flashback to 1978. I think that's insanely well done. If you were to
edit, it looked just like it.
If you were to edit that to the end of Halloween, I think that plays perfectly.
I completely forgot about that opening,
it's
how good it was
phenomenal.
Because I've just repressed all my Halloween.
I think the beginning of Ends is insanely good.
It's fine.
It's great.
I think the beginning with Corey and him dealing with that and then him like living with people calling him a murderer and psycho and all that stuff, but it's just the way that it goes and starts with Michael and the weird homeless guy and then Michael having these supernatural powers where he just somehow is like
where he gets
alive.
Strong, he gets stronger. Well, okay, so the original idea for Ends was they were going to introduce the Silver Shamrock thing from Halloween 3, the original, and that was going to be why
Michael was as crazy as he was.
Okay, they should.
Is because he was going to have the shamrock on the back of the mask. That was the whole thing.
Boom, do it. That would have been awesome.
That would have been crazy. Okay, so I do think this idea that this our main character, well, I guess he's our main character, he loses his wife, or he has to make a decision. He loses his wife in a freak accident. He has this daughter now that he's raising by himself, and there's like a special, not even a special bond, but he's very protective of her because
they seem very close.
Yeah,
they call also, this the Batman proposition.
Also, not close enough to realize that his daughter has another friend somewhere else.
Yeah,
like I was like,
kids but at then, school friends are. I mean,
yeah.
Well, but he knows her because she comes up and says his name.
That's true, but like the way that.
But no, I know what you mean. Yeah, right.
Like when they're talking to the parents, the one parents are like, "We didn't even know that our kids were friends." And then when these kids
that says more about those parents.
Also
than
true. That's fair.
I think that she didn't want to tell her parents she had a black friend.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, because the parents are kind of douchey.
Oh, very douchey.
Dude, yeah.
Well, the mom's not.
No, this is David, and he's pulling us apart because he can't keep a character.
That's true.
Straight.
Because she starts, like, really, she does one non-douchey thing.
That's fair.
At the end.
It's never like, you know, like old man in Home Alone where you're like, oh, I think it's this way, but then we learn more.
That he's not a serial killer.
Right. Like, the neighbor lady, right?
Yes.
She comes out and she's like, I'm the worst person.
Right.
But then the next time you see her, she's like, I'm a very good person. And,
right.
And it's almost, I feel like, David, did he write this, David Gordon
Green?
Yeah,
yes.
I feel like
it's bad.
It's bad.
So,
yes. I thought maybe he like ran with a crew.
I mean, it's okay.
No,
it's not the worst thing ever, but like.
There's a co-writer, but it's not Danny McBride.
I feel almost like, and look, this is me. I don't know. It could be a sweetheart. But the way the movies make me feel about him.
I used to love
him.
His comedy movies.
Sure.
I think they're great. I'm ready for him to now fail back
he
into.
He better be glad that William Friedkin's not alive.
Your Highness, too.
He would have lit
William.
Him
Dude,
up.
Have you seen William Friedkin interviews?
Oh, yes.
Holy crap.
He pulls no punches.
Did
now, not
those
give,
I will watch. Those are more entertaining than The Exorcist.
Did not give a
but he, hilarious. Oh, we talked about the French Connection, right? And him just doing whatever he wants.
But
and,
it's like, he's not exactly flawless either.
Absolutely not.
Like, he made Turn of the Century.
Yeah, they're not all winners.
Yeah.
Davey feels...
Or Deal of the Century.
Like he...
There we go.
Thinks he's smart or something, or he's had enough successes that he's like, I'm actually a really smart
guy.
Well,
they keep giving him these proper... Like,
and he's I feel like he's trying to, like, turn tropes on their head, but he's like, he's not understanding movie language. Like, when you have the lady come out and go... You gotta get your trash cans.
Yeah. Right.
We go, okay, I get it. They've had a rivalry, you know, they don't get along.
But also, bring in your trash cans.
Of course.
Like,
sure.
That's, like, as...
Yes, and, like, and
bring
people,
in your trash
people identify with different kinds of characters, and this doesn't surprise me. This,
well, especially when he just ignores it. I was like...
He was just cool.
Like, I know we're supposed to like this guy, but, like, what a
but
dick.
I also,
what, bring
get,
in your
but
trash cans.
This is the mean cop from Halloween Ends.
Yeah.
David Gordon Green is not correctly, with the language of film, telling us what we're...
Spot on.
Because he's saying, like, I think he's trying to be like...
Oh, the ex-boyfriend.
We talked about this because me and Matt are watching Halloween Ends and we're like, that guy, like, you know what you're trying to make that cop. Like, Joe's like, well, he's not that bad of a guy. I'm like, but the movie language he's presenting
I know,
is he's a jerk.
But that entire, right?
You're right.
He doesn't do anything that's
but
like...
we're right.
Also, yeah, they want him to be the bad guy. But when he's like, he pulls over Allison and he's just like, hey, I'm just seeing what's going on. I'm just checking in, and she's like, gotta go, bye. And then he's at the diner with all of his cop buddies who could have easily kicked the out of Corey if they wanted, and he says, no, it's fine, let's just go back to our table, and doesn't do anything to Corey until later by himself. He doesn't bring his posse with him. He beats it, but then Corey ends up killing him anyway.
Okay, but then the cop goes by him like to do illegal stuff.
Well, but the thing is,
but he's
not cool.
But he, okay, but
it's just turned but, to Halloween
yeah,
ends. Goes,
but
he can't help if
about
he mentioned Halloween ends.
But he is picking a fight with the guy who's dating his ex-girlfriend. That's See, a fight and that kind of makes sense.
He identifies, and this is two psychos. But this is what I'm saying. I think he's just... I feel like he's maybe doing these things on purpose. Like, wouldn't it be cool to set up where you think she's mean, but then she's actually not. But he doesn't do it right. It's just the very next time we see her at the hospital, she's like, oh, I'm glad you're okay. I'm a very nice lady.
I think the turn should have come when the girl, when the daughter mentions the demon,
right.
Basically.
She could have still been mean, and she could have been a nurse doing
the
her,
turn.
Her job.
I will say that language of cinema was so bad that I did not realize that was the same person.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, also,
I thought that was a throwaway, cranky neighbor, and now at the end when she says, I'm glad that God put me as your neighbor,
right.
I'm just now clicking, because that didn't pay off in any
but also,
meaningful way.
The way they shoot that, she's so far in the
away.
Distance.
Because I did not realize that was her.
And it's the same with like the church, the pastor at the church. You see that whole church scene, you're like, this dude's slimy. I get it.
Right.
Okay, Gordon, we're on the same
page.
But then he's not. He's like just a nice...
Priest Ventures Assemble. I thought that whole thing was so ridiculous.
That drove me insane.
How cool they thought they were being to bring all the faiths together.
But it's two.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that are like,
only,
but one guy's talking in tongues
it's
and one.
Three. Oh, you know that because one guy talking in tongues is from St. Louis, right?
No,
who's that's
that?
Norbert Leo Butts.
And
but he's like a big Broadway guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I went to high school with his nephews.
Oh, okay. But real quick, it is three faiths because you get Catholicism, you get
Christianity.
Catholics are Christian.
I know, but
I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah, I do know that. But that's
but
what
you
they...
get. You get non-denominational, whatever they are. And then you get the lady from Haiti, which think is supposed to be like Santeria, is like a mixture of voodoo and Catholicism.
We're saying the priest is Catholicism? Or was there another representative?
Sure. Well, thank you for figuring.
Yeah.
I mean, which is, okay. Jumping around here.
Oh, and I gotta say, the whole thing was like, oh, we've got all these faiths and we've assembled the Avengers, but the Catholic priest is missing. And then at the end, when he's like back, I'm like, this is so ridiculous.
Wouldn't
it was so stupid.
And look,
they were like, yeah, he's here.
I don't make movies. I'm sure it's so hard. Whatever.
Oh, sure.
Wouldn't it
absolutely.
Have been better to set that priest up as like a badass?
Yeah.
Like, I can do this. I know how to do this. I've done this before.
Like Damien?
And then...
like the Pope's exorcist?
Like
that's the one I want to see.
Sure,
I still haven't seen it, but that looks fun.
I watched it last night. It's a lot of fun.
Okay,
is it really?
I want to see that.
And so, right, and then you have him like, but he's like maybe by the book, right?
Right.
So he doesn't come in.
He can't do it, but he's
and then
by
he finally,
the good book.
By the good book.
Yeah.
And then he finally does come in, and then because when he the priest in the movie, you only
he's
see
kind
him
of
a little
wormy
bit.
Guy
he's such
too.
A little wimp.
But
he
it
is.
Is. Like, if you, when Father Mirren,
I also can't help but notice, they set that whole thing up about don't touch them. And the first thing he does is, it, and I'm like, man, these priests just can't not touch the kids.
And I just, because he comes in and all the people like, in the room are like, yes, but I'm going,
so
well, this guy sucks. Yeah.
The fact that they were all doing their thing and then that big payoff, because it's like, and I get it, it's the exorcist, so like that is the thing that has been proven to work. But the way they celebrated it, and I'm just
it
like,
is,
what
but
are
that's
they
the thing.
Doing?
You get it because you've seen other exorcism movies.
Right.
The movie doesn't tell
no,
us that
you
this
have
guy's
to know.
Gonna,
right,
people
right.
in a horror movie don't know they're in a horror movie.
Right. But I also, to your point though, when Father Mirren walks into that house,
he's awesome.
But it's also Max von Sydow.
I know,
right?
But
so there's a little bit of a...
That is a great point, though, because watching that movie, the only payoffs to me were, you know, the exorcist scenes and the makeup and effects for the time, you know, very good. And then the commanding presence of Max von Sydow. He comes in, and you're like, okay,
he was
I'm
like,
on board
I'm gonna
this
kick
guy.
Out of that demon.
This guy's cool, and his performance is so good. And in this movie, you don't get anyone that's really like...
I do.
And having a
the
guy...
The Haitian lady, I will say, gives one of the best performances. When she gives that speech in the cemetery, I'm like,
oh yeah,
she is acting like that was an awesome, and I think the writing isn't very good in this movie.
She took chicken, she made a chicken salad.
I just thought she gave the best performance in this movie. I really do.
I think also the way in that final scene, we've got all these different denominations of religion, right?
Yeah, the priest vengers.
The priest vengers. And there's only two that really do anything.
Nobody does anything.
The priest comes
well, they
in.
They can't, which the point is because
the only guy that does anything is the dad that screws up.
Yeah.
And then why does the demon even do that? Go like, well, I'll make a little game for you.
Yeah.
You gotta pick one.
I was like, we saw this. It was in The Dark Knight. Like, I watched this movie.
Right.
It's the same.
And if you know anything about exorcism and the history of the act, the story that mm-hmm. the original movie's very loosely based on. Like, that family was Lutheran. And Lutherans don't believe in exorcism. And finally, they were like...
They went to the Jesuits.
They were like, you need to go find yourself a Catholic.
Yep.
And they... Because they were from... They weren't from here,
but they...
Yeah, but then they moved here.
Yeah.
They were from, like, Maine or something, and then they end up living in, like, I think Belnor.
I think
up
so.
Up by Umsel. But then they... It's done... It's performed over at SLU.
It
right?
is.
Because there's still, like, a... Floor they won't there let you go on.
I will tell you, I have a video of walking on that floor.
Yeah, you told us you had been to that.
So it's like it's DeBerg Hall, which is like the original SLU college. Like, it was one building. There
for non-St. Louis, SLU is St. Louis University.
St. Louis University, sorry, yeah. And now it's obviously expanded since then, but it used to just be on this little corner. And there was, they've built onto it, and since they've done that, everything's been renovated, everything's been gutted, and, you know, it's updated. But there's one door. This is honest to God truth. I'm telling you the truth. There is one door in this one building with no, it's just, all the doors have labels, right? Mm-hmm. Numbers or whose office this is. There's one door.
And it says exorcist.
It says exorcist.
666.
Yeah, that's right. There's no label. There's no, mm-hmm. there's no name on the door. But if you open that door, it goes into a room you get possessed, that has never been touched. It's never been refinished.
That's cool. It is
in the exact same condition. Well, it's dilapidated now, but there's a staircase that goes up the wall, and then around, and then there's like a walkway that's, again, never been touched, where this boy, it wasn't a girl,
these bastards, this whole thing just fell apart.
Those woke motherfuckers. There's
Reagan,
there,
the original Mary.
Yeah, right. There's three rooms. The one room at the very end of the hallway, which is where the boy stayed, and there's two other rooms where the priest stayed. And they did most of the exorcisms there, because it wasn't like one session. It was like, you know, a constant thing. And then they took that boy to what's called the White House Retreat, which is like a Jesuit retreat house for, you know, seminars and stuff like that. They did exorcisms on him out there. And then I think they took him to, maybe he started at Election Brothers, which I think is gone, right?
Election Brothers?
Yeah, it was a hospital.
Okay.
I don't know. Hmm. But that's where it started.
Yeah.
Then they brought him to SLU. Then they took him out to
the
White House.
But there's a house that they stayed in that you can visit that's in St. Louis,
It's the White
too?
House. It's, if you look it up, it's like the Jesuit White House Retreat.
Oh, I thought there was a house that, like, the family lived in that was a different...
The one that's up by Umsel and Belnor.
Yes, okay. There is a... That,
gotcha.
Yeah, if you... I'll plug this guy for whatever reason. The Grimm... It's like the Grimm Collective.
Grimm Life Collective.
And they did a walkthrough of, like, that neighborhood and of the house and where he stayed.
This movie starts off as kind of like a missing child thing, which
great.
I thought was really interesting. So I'm like, oh, we're going more detective, right? It's more than just...
I'm with you, man. And there's a left turn in the film where it just all...
But there's only,
I bet it's the same one.
I bet you're right.
From the experience of watching even the first movie and then this one, there's only so much you can do with the exorcism itself, right? Like, you have this whole movie that's just like the first one.
Or
meandering.
There's only so much people can seem to do with it. Maybe there's more,
but
will do it.
But the movie's called The Exorcist, so you're trying to get to the exorcism, but it's a two-hour movie, so it's meandering and this and that and the other, and then you get to it, and you're like, oh, that's cool, but you got to get through all this other stuff. So this movie, which I think does interestingly, is it starts off as like missing children.
It feels like
prisoners
is what it felt like
right?
to me.
And so I'm like, okay, that makes more sense, because what else are we going to do until we get to the exorcism? But yeah, once they find the girl...
I think even when they find the girl... I think I got to tell you,
a little bit of the hospital stuff was cool.
Yeah, but there's one scene where they
which echoes the original, right? Yeah, there's like right. the scenes where it's like the medical stuff is very
disconcerting.
Well, and her like peeing herself, Reagan does that in the first. Yeah. She does.
I mean, the movie plays the hits.
It's a
right?
soft. Like, it's like yeah. a soft you get a reboot. Head spin, right?
It's a requel. Like
you,
that's
you get
that's,
the head spin, you get the pee soup, you get the inappropriate right. masturbation, you get the you know.
Oh, is that what she was doing in church?
The church, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't entirely sure what that was, but that makes
that's
sense.
That's what I took.
Oh,
I
think she you're took right. her shoe off, and I'm like, what
but
is
there's going? Like when the parents were
and their hands like under her.
I
grass.
Did not.
Yeah. I thought I was like, that's okay. But
I didn't
you're
pick
right.
up on that either. But okay.
But yeah, they definitely
I think
do the
in
hits.
Today's world.
Yeah, and she's also underage.
Do you think they cast that girl
because
she's
well, the kids
a little
are the
bit
other
like
Reagan?
I think that's exactly why they cast that girl.
I think so much that when they did that, I thought that was a flashback because they go to the who's the actress that plays the nurse, the neighbor?
I don't know.
We know her. What is her?
I recognize her.
Oh, she's on Handmaid's Tale.
Oh,
she's the Aunt Lydia.
Yes,
like and Dowd. She's a famous actor. But anyway, so she's like,
did you see the God? What was the thing with the? It's like four people in a room talking about school shooting. She's in that. It's like their parents.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Oh, my. I can't remember the name
of
it. But holy smokes, was that good.
I got a screener for that.
Literally just four people sitting around a table talking
it's
for an hour and 40 minutes.
See, that's...
And it is great.
Talk about writing. I mean, you can make anything. The simplest one room, like obviously a lot of plays do these chamber pieces. If the writing is good enough, you don't need a lot of flash, a lot of locations.
Nope.
But the problem is when you have good concepts... You know, as we've seen many times, and I think in this one, you know, could have been really good, but I don't think his writing is strong enough to hook you. I think it's just not.
It's I think. Go ahead.
Well, I just think he's uneven too. I liked the dad and daughter, and their relationship was cool.
Agreed.
And
so Leslie Odom Jr. He's from Hamilton. Most people would know him from. He played Aaron Burr. You know, he's been in some. Was he in the?
I feel like I've seen him in stuff.
Yeah, was
I
he?
Think he's great. I think he's a likable.
I think
guy.
That there's the line that he has.
One Night in Miami. That was the big one that was getting you know, Oscar attention a couple of years ago. He was in that.
The line that he has when he walks outside, when the Haitian gal kind of says, "Dump this to the east of away and east of the house," and he dumps this water out, and the priest is sitting in his car praying the rosary. I think this line made me laugh. Where he knocks on the window, he's like, "The fight's in there." And the priest is like, okay, I'm sorry.
That's corny to me. It's so corny.
In that moment, like,
the way
he reacts to the priest who's sitting right there. He's sitting outside the house, and he doesn't have the balls to go inside. Yeah.
Well,
and this guy who is,
in his defense, he did get his head turned
around. That's true,
so.
Yeah, he did get his neck snapped. But and then you've got the dad who's inside, who doesn't believe in any of this, who's inside fighting for his daughter's life,
but
it's just a simple line that I thought was pretty funny.
Kevin, do you think so? I feel like the first whatever quarter of the movie sets you up.
The girls do some kind of a what is the connection?
They're trying
to
contact
her mom,
and I don't know.
But they're using something that somehow connects to the exorcist, like it's supposed to connect to that demon. Like, how do they summon?
They're
this?
Just talking to the netherworld.
Yeah, there's no. I don't think there's any.
I mean, like Reagan just used a Ouija board, right?
Yeah,
there wasn't really any direct.
Okay, but I just figured there was some.
The draw.
They were trying to connect whatever they were saying was like the Book of the Dead. They were trying to.
She talks about her mom's scarf. And the dad took the scarf, and that's why she couldn't.
She was good, like
she contacted
was,
the wrong.
She basically she called something from the netherworld, and that she was going to use the scarf to be like
a tether,
a personal item.
And
of
I
the
think
person she's calling
would have been her mom
if her dad hadn't taken the scarf. Is what she says.
Interesting.
But the first half of the movie is kind of a nice. I hate. Well, the relationship between the dad and the daughter was so refreshing. Like, oh, they like each other. This is nice.
Yeah.
So then when they start dropping, like, cheesy lines later, it's like, wait, I didn't think this was that kind of movie. I thought we were doing a more grounded way people talk. Or then, like, when they start getting into a fight with the dad and the neighbor parents.
Yeah.
Oh,
and the
sure.
whole way nobody will, like, talk normal, and I get it. It's a heightened situation, but the dad goes like,
maybe your daughter was into something you didn't know about. And they're like, what are you trying to say? And yeah. he's like, I loved my daughter.
Right. That whole yeah. thing what? With the police station or whatever.
That was so bad.
I feel like they're in the, are they in the hospital?
Yeah, they're at some, yeah. they're either
and
the
right,
hospital.
It just feels or, like yeah. they were like, okay, we got to get them into a fight. How would we do that? Yeah. And like, well, he could just say they don't love their daughter or some stupid.
But I think that that idea, right? Like of two parents, two sets of parents with two and they don't know each other, right? And it feels
there's
like
a way to write that where right. someone says something inartfully, correct? And the tensions are high, and don't, but like they don't do that.
The
they
dad just, could even be like, "No, that's not what I meant." But instead, he's just immediately
double-tapped.
Yeah,
okay. I think Talk to Me just did this so much better, and that's it what did, makes yeah. this even worse. You know, you had these two YouTubers that came out of nowhere. I mean, I know they're YouTubers, but in the film world, and wrote this movie and filmed it, and it's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
I think it's, that's very fun. Not the way you did. That was fine. And people talk about YouTubers. But there's a thing, like, the way people talk about that movie is like, these YouTubers. Like, well, what else would a filmmaker do? Like, you know what
oh,
I mean?
Sure,
like,
yeah, sure, sure.
Steven Spielberg wasn't a YouTuber because there was no YouTube.
Yeah. Right.
They talk yeah. about it.
David Fincher directed music videos.
Like, it's yeah. just not you know? That. I feel like we're at the point where that's not crazy. YouTube's been around
right. long I think we'll see that more and more.
But there's a difference between YouTubers that go and do some, you know, independent thing and it's okay, or they do a few under their belt, but like, this is their directorial debut, and they made the film jump from YouTube to feature, and the feature was excellent.
But I'm
so
saying,
just,
like, we're at the time where every single director
is a YouTuber if they're young, right?
And
if you're an amateur filmmaker and you have a finished product, you're putting it on YouTube,
right? You have yeah, and you'll right. have things on YouTube. It's just a fun. It's just sure. like a media
totally.
Way
to, and I'm not anti. I watch more YouTube than I do films now. I'm that's like my main. I think YouTubers are amazing. So that wasn't a dig at YouTube. It's just
no. That's what I'm saying. I don't. You did not yeah. have the.
I love
way
YouTube.
People,
I think people are yeah like the documentaries, the video essays people are putting out are so interesting and digestible. Like, there's so many talented people on YouTube that oh, are
Grim Life Collective.
Grim Life Collective, that's right, yeah.
So
watching
yeah.
all that YouTube is why you thought The
like you have
Exorcist
the same
was
feeling
boring.
About them, I do.
Right?
Yes. It's neat stuff.
Every time, every
really.
Once in a while, I was like, nah, yeah. I mean, do I want to see you go through Halloween Horror Nights? Yeah, but I don't want you to talk.
Yeah, baby ghoul.
Yeah, oh, God. Gross.
So the two girls are found, but they don't remember anything about where they were.
They think they've
been
gone
hours,
for like an hour.
But it's been 3 days.
You're wrong.
And then just possession stuff starts
also,
happening.
Okay, so yes, there is the one scene where when the dad brings his daughter home, and she's kind of like, she has moments where she's normal, but then she snaps mm-hmm. and she's not, you know, I just want to be left alone. There's a scene in that dad's brushing his teeth and he closes the mirror. It's a trope, but man, that.
But she's not in the mirror. That's the different thing he did.
It's a thing.
She's
there's
in
some
the foreground. She's looking in the mirror and you're looking for like a mirror jump, but the lights go out and back on, nothing there. Lights gone
oh,
back
no, no,
on.
No,
but
no.
she's right there in the foreground.
No. There's another one where like the demon version of her is in the mirror.
Oh, I don't know if I.
It's fast. It's super.
Well, there
it's
is a flash of something, yeah.
And it's.
Yeah. But they do it at the very beginning.
They do,
too.
And it's mm-hmm. like it got
the Exorcist does it. They're,
yeah.
Yes,
they're playing the hits.
They are playing the
hits. It
hit.
Is very much. I mean, this it's like Force Awakens, but not as good. This is very much a soft reboot where they're just doing the Exorcist thing.
Yeah,
he's really trying
If you go back and rewatch The Exorcist, you see Pazuzu everywhere. Mm-hmm. He's all over the place.
There's flashes. Just,
yeah.
And at this point in the movie. I'm still in.
I'm
having a great time.
I was like, okay, yeah. like this is it's creepy. I like the way the house is set up. Like the house is, you get the feeling that it's a big house, but
there's ins and outs. And
it feels very small,
which they don't use later.
At all.
Because he does the thing right where he comes around to scare her.
Yeah.
Dad daughter stuff.
I think that's great.
And you're like, ooh, that's gonna scare
that's
me.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, that's coming.
I
back.
Guess she. Kind of whatever.
I was yeah. bummed that ice cream melted. He brought her a pancake and ice cream, and then she peed
sure.
the bed
yeah.
and had to leave
that's
the food. And I'm like, that
sure.
ice cream's melted.
Soupy ice cream.
Yeah.
That's the way that works.
I mean, it's okay for a while, but then
right.
when it gets warm. You
so
can't.
Yeah, he takes his daughter back to the hospital.
He has to commit her.
Yeah, because she's lost. You know, she's in full possession mode.
She's hurting herself and others. And
right,
I feel like the movie has a timeline issue where it feels in the movie like he takes her home one night, like she's in the hospital. He takes her home for one night, and then he goes, "I gotta put this bitch in. I can't deal with this."
It is true. It does feel like it's 24 hours where he puts her in bed. Wait, yeah. She's peed the bed.
Well, she hit him over the head with something.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he made the wrong choice.
No, but I mean, things escalated pretty quickly. Right.
And then then she's committed. But
I'm not cleaning these sheets every night.
Yeah, you're out your mind. But at this point now, she's full possessed. Like, she's got the makeup going. She's got the demon face rocking.
They never really addressed the weird water, but the bath that he made for her, yeah. When he turns up the bath,
I thought she was
going to
pop out of there.
That's what I thought, too.
I thought there was going to be a creepy, scary scene, but it's just like, oh, the water's a little gross. There.
Yeah, that's, you should probably get your pipes checked.
Like, don't think that was a good enough. Like, why even put that in there if you're not going to make it a scary or a gross, or it could have been blood or something, which maybe would have been a little. But you know what I mean? It was gross, and then never addressed.
Never addressed.
And nothing popped out. Nothing.
No. And then, so the other girl, they take the other girl to church.
She's been, like, pulling her toenails and fingernails. That's one of the grossest things, just because that's.
I don't like that anyway. Yeah, I don't like fingernail stuff.
Toenails and both the girls, their feet are really gross. Like, they
were in hell. They got burned in hell.
They got burned in hell. Yeah. Also, real quick. The fact that nobody noticed that the word help was carved into this child, and it took the dad being like, wait a minute, let me go back and look at those pictures that I shouldn't have at all.
Which is another exorcist thing, same thing that...
Yeah, but it's also just like, are you telling me that no other doctor was like, hey man, that says help. Like, somebody carved help into that child.
We don't see
a Beatles fan.
Would it imply anything happened to him?
I guess not. So now the other daughter, this is the dividing line. This is when this movie goes to...
Yeah.
Is the daughter, they're in church, and this other girl is not okay. Starts, like, I guess she just went to town on the Christ wafers and wine, which also I did appreciate... As growing up Catholic, we all, you know, you take your first communion, you do the whole thing, you all drink from the same cup, which is just gross.
Do they still do that now?
I don't know. Ugh. Like,
I've seen
put it in the little Dixie cup.
But I saw this and I was like, oh, that makes way more sense.
Can you bless all the? Or I guess you bless the whole thing.
You just do the over it. Yeah.
Got it.
Hey, I did her picking up that paper with her toe was funny.
What?
She like
when she's sitting there and she's like playing with the.
She picks up a. Piece of the page of the Bible is over their foot.
I do like the two siblings were just like, oh man,
yeah,
she's crazy.
That's why they get now it makes more sense. But they're both looking at her because
like,
I'm
what
just like,
are you doing?
And I thought, okay, she's just being weird and taking her shoes off. But
nope.
Taking
care of a little business.
What is in the original Exorcist, like all the demons so sexual and like saying lick me,
right.
And
I
do
think,
all this
well,
stuff.
Because
and
it was
worse in the book.
It is worse in the book.
I was going to say is the book
in the book. She finishes.
Yes.
Oh,
that is correct.
I don't want to know.
But also, I will also say the book did something that I wish the movie had done.
Okay.
Which the book, all of the things that happen are technically explainable.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, there's no, like, blatantly supernatural thing that has occurred. So you don't really get... a levitation.
I was going to say the bed lifting and her levitating.
It's like things are bouncing around, but it could also just be her
moving
like,
around.
That is the most interesting thing with The Exorcist as a concept is the question of is she possessed or is she...
It's The Exorcism of Emily Rose. That's
say,
the
surely there's a movie,
that's
right?
What you're looking for. Honestly, okay. Like it's... I think that's Scott Derrickson. It's... oh, God. Who played Dexter's sister? Jennifer Carpenter.
Okay.
And that's a real story. Yeah. Okay. Where
and then the second one's the family on trial, right?
That's the first one. It's the priest. Spoilers.
Oh, I don't want this.
Okay. Well, okay. The main thing is the priest is on trial.
Okay.
For something. And then it's like a flashback of like what happened to this
girl. I'm going to watch that.
It's very, very good.
So like, wait, I love that idea.
The mom in this, not the dead mom, the white mom.
Yeah.
That's Jennifer Nettles.
I knew she looked familiar.
I saw her name and I was like, well, that can't. Where was she? Yeah. I don't remember
that's
her
funny.
In this movie.
Every time I saw her, though, I go, I know who that is. Like, she's someone.
Yeah. So anyway, the white girl has also like entered full possession mode. This is this scene in the trailer with the body and the blood, and she's she's poured.
You know that's not the lyrics, right?
No. Let the body set the floor.
No, I know, but that's when she kept going, body and the blood.
That's the parody we did for worship service.
Yeah. So
how you know it's St. Louis, because it was worship.
Worship.
I kept trying to like entertain myself, I guess. I was like.
But this is the line. This is where this movie goes to shit for me. I guess she has poured the wine over herself, and she's just walking. And I do like where the parents are like, we got to get this kid out of here.
But it had it like turned into real blood. She looked more, she didn't look like she had wine on her. She looked a little bloody.
Then they should have tried to tell you that.
Okay.
That somehow the demon has changed.
I mean, if you got wet with wine, you would just look wet. You wouldn't look bloody. But she looked really.
If it was red wine.
No, but
it wouldn't
it's
have
wet.
The,
it's not.
The that's
texture.
True.
It wouldn't have the viscosity.
Yes, that's fair. That's
she looked
fair.
Bloody. So I think that's an interesting idea to take the communion wine, which is
it does turn into blood.
The blood, right?
It does.
Well, not at this church because it's a Protestant church.
That's true.
Is that what they are? Do they say that they're Protestants?
I mean, I'm assuming because I mean,
explain the transubstantiation.
No, please don't. We don't need that. It's go in the archives. It's somewhere in there.
Talk about Halloween Ends again.
Done.
See? Priorities.
So now,
so you don't like this stuff.
I think this.
I think it's where it gets goofy.
Cheesy.
It gets too way goofy. Over
like
the top.
Her voice isn't. I don't think the girl.
Tell me how the original Exorcist is any less goofy.
Okay,
it's the same
it was
exact
200 years ago.
Right. Here's the thing:
same voice, even with like the Irish voice. Is that supposed to be someone that was famous or
no?
It's that just, same.
It's but it's
by right, but it's the
just
same.
How we talk.
It's like an Irish guy is what it sounds like. I didn't know.
I think the Exorcist
still, channeling the priest's voice or something.
She channels a bunch of different voices.
Right.
It's like the voice of Max von Sydow's mom, or
then,
like Jason
the
Isaac's
guy that he sees in the subway.
Yeah.
And I thought she was supposed to be being some guy that, like, a recycled voice from the first one.
Oh, that's probably.
I think it was.
Because it's the same, like, again, it sounds like just having watched it, like, oh, she was doing that voice.
Which, is a problem with these kind of movies where the movie's referencing another movie instead of internal things within its own movie that, like, I hate. That I don't.
But how
I don't,
do you do fan service? Like, if you don't include it, people are like, "There's no connection."
I don't mind, like a little bit of fan service, but like,
well, we'll be getting fan service, Kevin. Don't
and
you worry.
Like, this
you're
is
pretty
the,
little head about it.
It's the worst.
But her like those voices have no connection to anything in this movie,
and if
it
they're
is,
different demons.
Well, I have that issue too.
Okay.
Is it one demon split into two people? Is it,
or is it
Pazuzu? Is it two demons?
So what I wish they would have done is. Obviously, you can't bring back Father Mirren because he dies, right?
Right.
You can't bring back...
Surprise, he's not dead.
Yeah, right. You can't bring back the other priest because he dies in
dead.
Three.
In, no, those are the Joker steps, the same steps,
one.
Right?
But you could bring him back because they're saying that this is the second one. They're ignoring all the other movies.
Oh, okay. You can't bring...
But you can't bring back the people that are dead.
Well, then
the first
not from the first one,
obviously. Like Damien, he's dead.
But he was saying that whoever dies in the third movie, and I was
Damien dies in three. Damien is the...
Well, I just watched it. He's dead, unless you're spoiling something weird.
He does not die. If you watch those movies, you think he dies in one.
That's what I'm saying.
He does not.
Okay, I saw his head smashed with blood all over.
I'm telling you now, in Exorcist 3,
see the movie.
When George C. Scott
but
goes...
But Exorcist 3 also wasn't supposed to be an Exorcist sequel.
And you had... Depends
like,
on which
but
cut,
it was.
Cuts.
But the studio forced that on him. It's based on a book called Legion.
By William
Peter Blatty. Yep. And then he comes in, he writes and directs the third one.
Yep.
And then they're like, using... Some of the same characters.
Yep.
And follows the police officer, Kinderman or whatever.
Yeah, who is,
But it's played by George C. Scott instead of...
But not the guy in the first one.
Like,
it's a different guy.
Luke Cobb or something like that. And so, and then they're like, oh, well, we need to make this an actual Exorcist.
They Cloverfielded it.
And then
they did.
And, yeah, and then they forced him to add an exorcism scene at the end instead of, you know, because he was like, this isn't really about... It's the same character. It's some of the same characters on a different adventure,
right.
But they're not necessarily out to do exorcisms.
Correct.
And they were like, "But if
but you're going to,
but if you want us to continue to pay for this film, then they're going."
So in that movie,
so I don't know. Even though they call it Exorcist 3, if it was truly designed,
I don't think it was.
Be,
but it becomes.
So maybe it was a prequel,
when,
and
which,
he wasn't.
Bring in the actor that they bring in for that movie. That makes it an Exorcist sequel.
For sure. But I'm just trying to remember if that character died in the book.
Damien?
Is he viewing this kind of like Stephen King saying, well, this movie's a sequel to the book, not
right.
Like playing that kind of game.
But okay,
in my mind,
in Exorcist 3, depending on which version you watch, There's one version that's all Brad Dourif, and he's amazing in that movie. There's a second version where it's Jason Isaac. And the reason they bring in Brad Dourif is because Jason Isaac had a drinking problem and he could not get through his lines. Like, he was
I didn't know Jason Isaac had a drinking problem.
That's the one. Am I saying the right name? Who played Father Damien?
Oh, dude.
Who played Father Damien?
I don't remember.
In the original?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember, but is he back in the...
He's in the original cut of Exorcist 3.
Okay.
He's the guy that George C. Scott is seeing in the hospital.
I always think of Jason Isaac as the guy from Harry Potter.
Then that's not the right guy. I'm not saying the right name.
Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah. No, he plays Lucius Malfoy. Yeah. I always think of him as Jason Isaac.
Then I'm not saying the right... Hey, I think this
Joe.
Is... Yeah.
I did think that the
Jason
church...
Jason Miller.
Okay, because I'm like... Okay.
I thought... Oh, sorry.
I'm just saying, like, in that movie, Jason Miller comes back.
He's as Patient X as
he's
what
father, he's Father Damien.
Okay. That does seem like a retcon, though. I believe Damien is dead at the end of the first movie.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But he's not. I'm telling you, he's not.
But you know, there's certain things we accept in these weird horror sequels that we don't, even in the Halloween movies, where you can choose to ignore certain things, like
different timelines.
He's dead.
Not in three.
I did think the church scene was pretty bad. Kind of felt like, oh no, we're going a different route.
Yeah.
Nothing else happened, right, that made this movie suck real bad?
Everything after the church scene.
There wasn't like a person that shows up for no reason.
Here's the thing is this idea of the legacy sequel and these legacy characters. I think it's really cool. I like that idea. I think in 2018, when they do it with Jamie Lee Curtis, that makes sense to me, right? Like, she's crazy. Let's finish her story, even though we don't finish her story for three more movies. I think bringing back Neve Campbell and David Arquette and Courtney Cox, that makes sense. To me, this is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing.
Absolutely.
Where not only can we not bring back the original actress because she's dead, but we just cast another woman to be this character, and then we kill her. For no reason.
Right.
And then in this
It was such a waste to do this to her. Why?
Such a waste.
But I don't understand. This is the thing that really blew my mind. So I thought it was really like mean-spirited and weird that they had the demon gouge out Ellen Burstyn's eyes, okay?
Yeah.
But then in the end, she's reunited with Linda Blair.
Well, God damn it, Kevin, we were getting there.
But why did you...
Right.
Gouge her eyes out? And if you're going to give her that happy ending...
We've got two more movies.
They've done it again. They've given David a trilogy.
This is a trilogy. So, I mean, I agree with...
Gouge her eyes out? Either kill her off so you don't have to pay for her, hope she's able to.
I think they're trying to, like...
Sideline her without killing her.
That, like, they'd like to have her back for more, but also, realistically, the woman
is
91 years old. Like,
and if...
That's why I think killing her off makes sense. But they've now kept her alive but blinded her?
Oh, it's awful.
And
this is David...
Why?
I feel like David Gordon Green doesn't understand, like, human being. Like, I feel like he thinks we're going to go, like, oh, good, she's still alive, instead of her last... months on this earth are blind.
She gave her a happy ending blind. Why did you do that? They did not need to do that to her.
What I thought, honestly, what they were going to do is they were going to Sally Hardesty it, where they were going to kill her.
Right.
If you kill her, it's mean spirited, but it's like, oh my God, they killed.
And now you open the door for Linda Blair to come back.
Right.
This thing has killed. My mom has been through all of this. This thing has killed my mom. I've done this dance before. I will come back and do whatever.
And this is Pazuzu, or it's the same, because it says, like, the mom, grandma is like, it knows me.
But it's, like, connected, because it's not even the same thing, I don't think.
Pazuzu is, like, a lord of hell. Like, that's...
I think it's been, like, talking to Pazuzu or talking to the devil or something, right?
These two other demons are gathering notes.
All the demons know each other, Kevin. Real nice.
But from watching this movie, I don't remember a lot of it, but I do remember that it seemed as though the demon sometimes sounded like the other demon, but then there was a reason why it wasn't the same one.
Sound alike, too.
Yeah,
This isn't the same.
I don't know. So you think they're down there and Pazuzu's like, and I got exercise. Don't worry about it, man.
Pazuzu. I love that they have nicknames. Oh, Pazuzu, don't even worry about it, bro.
This. No, it'd give be me Zeus. 30 years.
Zeus, that's the
yeah, Zeus. Yeah, right, right.
It's a networking luncheon.
But I don't know.
They invited him to come to the thing. Hey, come join our group.
Yeah. But even that is lame, right? Because, like, she had not Helen Mirren. What's her?
Ellen Burstyn.
She has no connection to this, really. But then they have to make her say like it knows me, it recognizes me. So there's some okay. So she has some stake in this, even though she doesn't. Nobody's called her. She wrote this book.
Yeah,
this is the first person that went, hey, can you help me with that? And she's like, yes, I've been waiting. Nobody.
And just the whole, like,
where did they get, was that foot, did they make that footage of her,
like, they must
de-aged
have
her?
Yeah, that had to be.
That was really well done.
I thought it was too.
Probably not even de-aging, right? That's like deep fake on a different actress,
right,
at that age.
Yeah,
I
guess that's true, because it's on a screen, so it's like you don't have to
like her too. They actually got the younger voice thing,
right?
That they mess up often.
Yeah. It was really good.
Indiana Jones.
I was
so
thinking
awful.
The same thing. Or the Irishman, or what, you know, when you get the old man.
I want to give this movie props where it is deserved.
Yes,
in the interview when she's on TV and the old footage.
Yeah,
she holds her. It shows her the cover of her book.
Yeah.
The book he has a different cover.
That's true.
They've updated
the cover for the new edition, and I really did go, that's cool. That's good. Because a lot of movies, right, they just use
the same
cover, and you'd be like, well, man.
There was something weird, though, and maybe it could have been explored in a different film, but like a later film, if these are going to actually be a trilogy, because I know they want that $400 million back. We should mention, we've collectively talked about Universal bought the distribution rights for this new trilogy for $400 million.
Was the original
not the rights. They don't own The Exorcist. They didn't buy the property. They can't make Exorcist lunch pails and t-shirts from the original. Just this new trilogy.
Exorcist pea soup.
Right. They can't even make their money back on merch.
Crucifix-shaped dildos.
They only bought the distribution rights for the new trilogy for $400 million. That doesn't count production on this movie, advertising, all that extra expense. So it's like they banked so hard that people think that Exorcist is that hot of a property.
I think so
$400 million for
the rights.
I will
say, I do think it's a pro. I think that price tag is reasonable when you make a good movie. Look at Halloween. Like, I think Halloween is a prime example of a franchise that...
I think Halloween's way more notable and did not cost $400 million.
Because Halloween has been consistently produced over the course of 40 years.
There has been at least something.
And they've been more popular movies.
Well, I would say, too, right? Like, Halloween is Michael Myers, that look, that vibe. Exorcist... you can make Exorcist movies.
Yeah,
right. They have. Like, Exorcism of Emily Rose is... You could have called that The Exorcist...
Could have.
: Emily Rose.
You don't need the property name, which is my point, is that Halloween is more consistent and has been handled better, but it doesn't cost $400 million.
It's got more recognizable branding.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. How did they get $400 million out of these people is my question. Like, if you told me they bought the rights for $100 million, I'd go, wow, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a good deal. Like, I cannot believe...
Now, wait. What if they de-age Linda Blair in the next one?
Oh, see?
And she's like a 5'8", 7-year-old.
I will say, I remember... What did we do with her in it? We did... It was a...
Oh,
it was during COVID.
We did...
It was a roller skating movie.
It was like a roller skating movie,
and it is
Xanadu, right?
No, but it was. If you ever looked at her at like 25, side by side with Amy Schumer,
I know what you're talking about.
How
I'd
much
forgotten
they,
about that
like, roller boogie?
Roller boogie.
We land on roller?
I don't
we
know.
Someone Dan or someone suggested that we do roller boogie. It was a suggestion from someone outside.
Well,
I swear it was Dan related, but I can't
But if
remember.
You look at Linda Blair at like 24, 25, look at Amy Schumer at 24, 25. Yeah. It is uncanny how much they look alike. So they bring Ellen... They bring back Chris McNeil.
Yeah, Ellen Burstyn.
Yes.
Who has never been better than in Requiem for a Dream. I just kept thinking, I'm like, her performance in that is so good.
She's a fantastic
actor. How long has it been since she's acted?
It's been forever.
Because it seems like maybe. Yeah.
But I just like her performance and like the way she deteriorates in that movie is so good.
And she ends up here.
And I don't think she's that good in the original movie. And I think she's
very good. But you got to look at it like she's a mom that is completely lost. She's got it's just her and Reagan and her daughter has like gone completely insane.
Yeah, story's fine. But I just I don't know.
It hasn't. She's been consistently acting.
Oh really?
Oh really? Wow.
Yeah, because like, for her. Yeah, because I mean, just I mean, I see credits in 2010, 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I mean, she. Yeah, I mean,
I feel like she's been around. I just haven't seen the stuff.
And sizable things, Age of Adeline, and
our highest. Download episode.
but yeah, I mean, she's
not anymore.
In a lot of, and she's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they end up gouging her eyes out. And I will say, the end of this movie, the fact that none of these people got charged with a crime is insane to me.
Well, do you know why?
No.
Because possession is 9/10 of the law.
End the episode.
We're done.
That's the best thing that could have
happened. Matt's over here like, I hate that joke, and God damn it, why didn't I think of it?
Oh, it's but seriously, though, this is another... We talk about this with movies that end with police coming to the murder scene, the crime scene, whatever. Okay? Yes, we all know a possession happened. We all know this was real. Like, there's nothing that leads us to believe these people are having a hallucinogenic fit, a psychosis, whatever.
Right.
We know possession was real. There's murders that just happened. Murders.
There's a dead child.
And they all show up.
There have been people arrested.
Oh, yeah.
For people getting like injured or killed attempting to do exorcism.
Yeah, that's the exorcism of Emily Rose.
And it's like, so the police all show up and they're all like, you know, do you need anything? Do you need to put here's a blanket? Like, what is their explanation? We just had an exorcism. Oh, damn. That
his
sucks.
Head just did that.
That's like, yeah, this guy was murdered, and they don't point to these adults as trying to perform exorcisms on children.
Right. There's,
and people got killed.
There are chairs bolted to the ground.
Yeah, right.
There's blood all over the place.
This would look like you just did a crazy cult religious ritual and got
because
people killed.
Because you did.
There's also a crazy symbol etched into the floor where these two chairs are in the center of. You've got a priest whose neck is snapped. You've got a dead child. There's no way none of these people are getting charged with criminal negligence.
Yeah, it's a trilogy.
The end of this movie should be that it failed and dour ending. They go to jail.
The nurse is in a, like, she's talking to the cop, and the cop's like, you should probably wait for your attorney. Right. And she just starts talking. So it's like, something's going, like, if you're telling this gal to wait for your attorney.
Yeah, I may have missed that line.
She was like, wait for your counsel, and then she starts talking.
What I heard was when the police were like talking to one of the priests, like, hey, father, are you doing okay or something? Like, it was very comforting. And I'm just like, dude, these people should be in cuffs because, I mean, maybe they eventually in movie world figure it out that they're innocent.
No.
But like, they should be presumed that they just murdered these people.
The law, there's no way. There's no, you can try that at trial. These dudes, these folks are getting charged with a murder.
That's what I'm saying. In movie world, you know they come up with stuff, but like, there's no other way to look at it. Bunch of dead people, religious symbols and imagery strapped down to the
blood on the chair.
Yeah, you guys have all just murdered these people.
Do you? Another problem I have with the film. Why is it two kids? Like, but that never really. There's like the decision at the end.
Because he thought he was trying to say something with either class disparity or racism.
Religion. The amount of religious and stuff in here is
crazy.
But
it never...
But I believe he thought there was something with that.
I think you're right.
Right?
And he seems... I mean, I feel like... Also, right, he's going like, I'm just presenting the question. And the viewer... But then he kind of ends up saying both... like, with his mob mentality in Halloween.
Yeah, like, there's no way with something like The Exorcist that you can resolve the storyline without saying, Jesus is real.
Right.
Yeah. Christians are right.
Right, right, right.
The devil's
a
thing.
Right, and so you have the main character doing very, like, early on, he's like, this is all fake, or, like,
he's supposed to become a believer.
But you're, like, with him. Or I feel like the film is with him in the beginning.
Yeah.
This is the trope of I've lost my faith, I lost my wife, so how can God be real? It's that question that gets asked all the time.
And I'm okay with, like, the... I don't know. It's just muddled.
But the problem is, in the end of the movie, because it's an exorcist movie and the priest has to be the hero, they have to do that Avengers team up, and then they have to go, the priest is here, and it has to be, like, he has to be the good guy,
snap.
But then that's the thing, right?
And I like the head fake in that, but it's still the fact that the characters are...
they do that, and it's almost like a, oh, but see... Catholicism isn't the hero, but then it But then it is. Religion is, and religion's right. real.
That's what I'm exactly.
And it's just all this dumb stuff.
I'd rather do the head fake and them not, but then you like can't do that.
Especially because right. like most other Catholic or Christian religions, like exorcism is one of the things that they point to as like the Catholic Church is silly. And
right,
you can't,
right.
You know what I mean? Well, so like you can't really bring in these other religions because they think this is dumb.
Oh, and what I mean... there's a message in a different movie that's not supernatural of like, hey, religion should all, we should all get
it
along.
All
it's all cool.
Yeah.
But in a movie where they're real, then it goes like, well, no, you can't have, they directly oppose things. Like,
correct.
You can't do that. But the thing with the two girls, I feel like you're thinking like, oh, it's going to come be, there'll be something where it's two and it's scary because it's two, but for most of the movie, we're with one girl, then the other one, then
and
back
then
with the
just
other
bolt
one.
Them together.
Well, then I was thinking, when they're a separate, right? Like
they're I thought not they were going to human centipede it.
What?
Yikes. Wouldn't put it past
well,
this
I
franchise.
Mean, honestly, yeah. and I mean, it's like gross, but like Exorcist is gross. They could have done some gross stuff,
yeah, right?
Disturbing things.
Yeah, the only things they do really is the one girl like pukes up a hairball. And that's kind of it.
And it all like, could have been one person. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't do anything with it okay. being two people.
So, to wrap it up, though, at the end of The Exorcist, I know we kind of skipped around, but, like, it comes down to both the kids are possessed, they're doing their demon stuff, people are getting their necks snapped, all that stuff, and then the demon says, you have to choose one of us. And then I guess I take that at, I took it as choose one of us to die, but then the dad is trying to save his daughter.
I
and
think it's choose one of us to live.
Oh, we were, it was Joker. We were supposed to think you're saving
but I took it, but okay, but for whatever reason.
Or maybe not. Maybe he was just unclear.
But but maybe it's because it's this creepy trickster demon.
Right.
But like when they said choose one of us, I immediately thought, oh, they have to choose to kill their kid. That's a horrible choice.
Oh.
I didn't know it was choose. So I guess I was supposed to be surprised, but I go,
yes.
But I also
made the wrong.
But I also, like, I do like that moment. With both with the mom and the dad of the different kids, where they're just like, I'm not choosing.
Being smart enough.
Yeah.
Well, not even, I mean, I guess kind enough also. But
yeah,
also
but kind
enough,
but also smart enough to not play into the game.
Right.
And then you've got the idiot dad who's like, I choose my kid.
So he got tricked.
Well, also, why would a demon want to teach you a lesson about like
parental?
Choosing.
Yeah, being nice and stuff. Like, you were selfish.
But also then sacrifice themselves, right? Because when you choose, then didn't the demon
Well, I think
die?
I think what happened is that the dad, so our
Leslie Odom Jr.
Puts the, could we come back to the scarf? So he puts this scarf over his daughter's head, and he was like, I love you, like your mom loved you, I want you, I need
Victor,
you know.
Fielding's the character name,
Victor
because
Fielding's,
I know you're going to want to come back to
I
this
know,
universe
sure.
and remember that.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm sure we will.
When
we...
A year or two.
Yeah, right.
Be right here.
Oh, God. Where, like, he puts the scarf on her, and that kind of, like, breaks the demon's hold, where it's about love and acceptance, and the demon lets her go, but ends up killing the other kid in the process.
So, do you think that if he hadn't done that and the other dad made a choice,
I think they were going to kill them both.
Oh, so the way I interpreted all of this was that nothing mattered, and the dad made like they're doing like get the scarf stuff. I had that same like, oh, it's he's winning, they're going to do it, and then the dad made a choice, and it was like, oh, nothing mattered because he just did that.
I will say probably the coolest thing in the entire movie is when the little girl gets taken to hell and the demons take her down and.
And is this little girl in hell? Is that
like this has to be part two, right? Like they're gonna go get this girl.
Oh, really?
They have to.
You think? Oh,
yes.
I think she's dead.
No way. If they had the balls to end this movie like that,
her being dead is one thing.
Getting dragged to hell.
Dragged to hell, and I've seen that movie. Now, that's a good movie.
But I thought that was a really cool imagery with all the demons and dragging her under. So this movie should have had more actual scary, creepy things. And this movie, I thought, was just kind of lacking in anything that was very creepy.
It had moments. It had really good, in that very beginning.
Right, but
and
possession-wise,
then,
I don't think they did a lot with the grossness and the creepiness.
Mm-hmm.
They recreated a lot of things from the first one, which at this point I think are maybe a little dated, because you try to do the same thing, and you're like, that's not
did
really
they do that in Halloween?
Creepy.
Was there a lot of, like...
An exorcism?
No.
Talking about
were there a bunch of,
them?
Were there
yes.
a bunch of, like... Did he go back and, like, do the hits? because
he pins people to walls.
Yeah, he does that.
And
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
To me, it didn't seem as obvious as blatantly
when he kills that one kid. Like, which
well,
because
most
kill.
Of the hits in Halloween are stabbing people.
That's
well,
true.
I mean, yeah, it's a guy with a knife. They'll be stabbed.
Well, but, but you have specific ways he kills them, though. When he pins someone to a wall with a knife. Yeah.
You know who that was supposed to be originally?
Who?
Dennis Quaid.
Oh, really?
Dennis Quaid was dating PJ Souls at the time in that first
one. They broke up and he couldn't.
No, no, no. Like, he was doing another movie.
Oh, gotcha.
So, like, that character was supposed to be Dennis Quaid and he couldn't do it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, the end of this movie is we go back to Chris McNeil and she's in the hospital. She's got these weird eye patches on. We hear the door open.
David Bowie's last album.
The one that came out right before he died.
Dark Star, whatever. And he's got that. There's a video. He's got these.
Oh, really?
Oh, right.
So we hear the door open and Chris McNeil's like, Victor, is that you? And we see a hand reached. We should say that, like,
if you didn't see this coming from a mile away, of course.
The only reason I was wondering was just because, like,
well, she's not there, right?
Did they spend the money to get her to show up?
Right.
For one day of filming. Yeah.
Well, they referenced earlier in the movie that Chris has written this book, and because of this book, Reagan's like, fuck off. Like, I'm out of here. Yeah. She did not want to be in the public eye, and she hasn't spoken to her daughter since.
This is Gale Weathers. It's the same. He just watched the Scream prequels.
And then she leans down, and of course, it's Linda Blair. And
then she punched her.
Yeah, she's like, I told you not to write that damn book.
Finished her off, killed her.
Yeah. See, now, if there was a twist, though, where Reagan comes back, and she's like, oh my gosh, Reagan.
Too.
And then, kills her? Oh my god.
But I think
if she killed her at the end and we find out Reagan's possessed and now the rest of the trilogy is going to be about finding the demon that's still in Reagan or something. Okay, that's a setup.
I think that the twist is that Pazuzu never left and Reagan has been possessed this entire time and now Pazuzu's like, I got all
is
you.
Or should be.
Should be.
Okay, because what I'm saying. This movie just ends.
I think that they're going to kill Linda Blair if they keep going with these movies. I don't
they're playing it so safe where they don't kill her,
yeah, right.
But they disable her.
They give you the...
And then they give you what they think is a happy ending where you're just like,
I'm here, Mom.
Not well, really...
And again, it does... I don't know if David Gordon Green was paying attention
to Texas
Chainsaw Massacre. But it feels like... Right? They saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre, saw Sally Hardesty get killed right away, and went, now people didn't like that. So we're going to fix it. But then they do, it's like, no, man, that's not the thing we didn't like.
You either kill her and you're like, oh my gosh, she's dead, or you give them a nice reunion and she's not blind. Like, to do those two, just
that's, I'm
not.
Saying. That I don't think any other, Halloween and Scream are the two franchises that have brought these characters back, right? There haven't been any other like requels where they've brought.
I feel like these are the main ones, and
those I think both Scream 5 and Halloween.
Psycho
2.
Well, the franchise.
Yeah, sure. But those are
Psycho 2 is
all
great.
Good.
Through
4
right
are great.
Now, after watching all those Psycho sequels,
yes,
I would rather watch those than any of these.
Psycho
Exorcist
1 through 4. Are amazing.
I like them
so
all.
Good.
I'm on 2. We finished 2.
Okay.
Now this is another thing I think of. Like, I had never seen Psycho. I finally saw that for the first time.
You watched the Vince Vaughn one, right?
Yeah, it's a stop. Yeah,
what do you mean the Vince Vaughn one?
I mean, that's the one, right?
I watched Psycho. Yeah. But so it was a movie where I knew all the. Sure. I knew it all, right? So I don't know how much I would have enjoyed it outside of that if I saw it fresh, didn't know anything about it. Psycho 2.
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
Might be. I definitely enjoyed it more. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, on an enjoyment level, Psycho 2 is really good.
I think the Psycho franchise is better than this franchise.
Has no business. Those movies have no business being that good.
They're good.
They're very good. This one's not very good.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's
first, fourth, solid.
Better. This is better than The Nun 2, and this is better than The Voyage of the Demeter.
Ooh, I forgot you guys.
That's fair.
You did Nun 2, right?
Yeah.
We just watched it last night.
Nun 2 Undercover.
At the drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's so dark. We left. We didn't finish it. And not... Well, also, our speaker died. We could have turned the car on. But the thing was just like so many things were
you
like...
You had a better experience.
And finally, we're in the middle of the movie.
They use speakers? Like, I thought it was all...
Just... No. We have a like a radio
thing. Oh, gotcha.
And it died. But like, we're watching... I can't tell what's going on, man.
We talked really... about this where it was dark, but not in an atmospheric way.
That
it was
be hard
so
to watch that like on a
bad looking
yeah.
star.
It was odd. It was impossible. Yeah. And we because we went there to see Seesaw And that was tough, but it was fine. I mean, yeah. I got it all, but man, it just...
Did you get to the magazines?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Ah, told ya.
Just listen to the episode.
Thank you, Matt.
I don't want to be spoiled, so I got to go back. I'm glad I remembered, yeah. but that was the only cool...
In theory, but...
Okay, also, though, I do a little bit of After Effects work,
yeah.
you know? And so I was watching it going like, that's really neat. I wonder what they... How did they set up the project, the like cinema 4D project for this? It's very cool.
I read later that it was a huge pain in the ass and it almost didn't get made. But they really? Were happy because it was the only interesting thing
That's
in the
funny.
Movie.
That's funny.
Is that what they said?
No, but
this was the only interesting thing we accomplished
hey,
in our
much
film.
Much like The Nun, though, what are these? I have this. Okay. In all these possession ghost movies, you know how The Nun will like. Be scared, like I'm the wall, and you're going like, is that wall the nun? And then it goes, it is me, and like grabs you,
yeah.
And then that's that. What is it doing?
The episode. I'm not going to say anything else. Listen to it. The entire episode is me going, what is the point of the nun?
We were.
Doesn't make any sense.
But sometimes it'll burn you alive. We were watching.
If you're not a main character.
Or sometimes it won't.
The nun will kill you if you are not a main character every time.
We watched The Red Door. Did you guys do The Red Door?
We did. Yeah.
I gotta go back to that too. I'm catching up on a lot of stuff.
Insidious.
Watch The Red Door, and there's a thing where a ghost is behind someone,
yeah,
but only for us. The camera like pans
the
by their
opening
head
at the graveyard.
Yes,
he never realizes there was anyone. It's
that's
for us,
the thing.
Right?
And I'm going, what are these ghosts doing? What are they going? Okay, so I'm gonna. Can you imagine if someone was standing over there? How scary this would be. Like, yeah, but ghost. Pazuz, come on, man. You know,
Zeus.
You know, there's not someone over there, right? He's like, yeah. But like, imagine, right? Like you're and pretend you're like kind of panning, like you know how a camera would. And you go like by their head, and then when you get to the other side,
you're gone.
I'm gone.
Go.
I was like, yeah, I guess that would be scary, but like,
it's just.
I'm gonna try it.
Just to show that sometimes he feels like somebody's watching him. The atmosphere.
Did it work? Why do I don't know? I can't see it from the. Right.
I set up a camera. I got to wait. I got to edit the footage. I think it worked.
It's just, and
it'll be on my YouTube. On YouTube.
Exorcist does it too, right? When
YouTube.com/@Pazuzu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do feel like in the first one, there's a little bit more of a like, oh, it's building its power inside this girl, I guess, or you can kind of make up stuff.
Yeah.
But in this one, it turns that guy's head around. Seems like it can do plenty.
Snaps that guy's head
kind
off.
Of the same problem with the original Exorcist too. Like they have all these powers and it seems like sometimes they just are. Like we say, like goofy little goobers. They're tricksters sometimes, yeah. But then other times they snap your neck and you're just like, what are you?
Like TV reception, you know, back in the day with an antenna. Yeah. Like sometimes the picture was really clear.
Okay.
And
okay.
Other times you just, it's like, I could, Channel 5, no one really comes in great. Why is it so fuzzy?
Or like when they're
you
throwing.
You gotta like click it.
This doesn't happen in any of these
on Channel 9, Peter.
Movies necessarily, but you know it happens a lot. They'll like throw across into a wall, stick in the wall, you know, but right by the guy's head.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm scared. Do you think the demon or ghost is going like,
I hope so, because I would like to think that the demon who is this murderous psycho demon is actually trying to achieve the goal.
Well, I think I will say, I do, it, from what I have in all of these movies, the idea is that the demon is trying to break the person down.
Get the
soul
or
it's
whatever.
It's trying, like, in the first Exorcist.
If you explain, they thrive off
in
their...
In the first Exorcist, that demon is trying to break down Mirren and Damien.
And he wants you to forsake your religious beliefs.
Yes, right? That's the goal, right?
He's not just out to kill you.
Sure.
He wants to break you.
Because he wants you to go to hell. Like, if he kills you and you're a good person, then he has lost.
There's an entire movie about this.
Or if your dad...
An entire, have you seen this?
Picks what? You.
Starring John Goodman and Billy Crystal? It's Monsters, Inc.
Oh, my God.
They're just trying to make you laugh, man. They're not trying to scare you. Yeah, people think they're scary. They're trying to...
Before
they
this
scare
up,
because they care.
Yeah. There's a great SNL sketch with Richard Pryor and... Oh, man, I wish I could remember the other guy. Where there are two priests, and they are... It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you what happens in it.
Richard Pryor has done a joke about this in many stand-ups about how, like, if that were to happen and it was a black priest,
right,
as soon as the demon goes, hello, well, Richard Pryor's like, I'd be like, goodbye, and that's it.
Eddie Murphy does that, too.
Does he really?
Like, yeah, you're talking about Amityville Horror. He's like, oh, this is such a lovely house. Well, we're going to be so happy. Get out. Too bad we can't stay.
But there's a great SNL sketch with these two. It's very, very funny. The first fourth of this I think is really good, and then it just completely falls apart.
I can't, like, their $400 million plus the budget of this, which was meager. It was only like a 30 million.
Yeah, bucks.
So I mean, but the $400 million for the rights, they're like, you better do this on the
15
cheap.
15 of it that went to Linda Blair. For
yeah, right, right. Right.
I mean, this is Blumhouse.
Is there any kind of box office yet or anything?
Wikipedia says 11, which I think is for the Friday, which means it probably made about 30 over the weekend.
I feel like it's gonna fall off,
but on a 400 plus 30,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So what are they going to do? Because they're already so committed.
They're going to do two more movies, I have to believe they're going to do a TV show. I honestly think that's the way a lot of. I mean, there's a goddamn Crystal Lake TV show, like
a Broadway musical.
Yeah, right.
I bet they pull the Linda Blair card harder for the second one than they would have. You know what I mean? Like, they would have pushed that to the, like, oh, you got to wait until the third to really get that.
Yeah,
now.
Right. She's going to be the main character of the second, right?
Yeah. They're going to go after that girl. That's what they're going to do.
Okay.
Well, we shall see.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
I'd prefer that these people didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fair.
Don't look at it. Matt F. Bosler, put like a block on searching for that. Please.
I will say Matt has one of the greatest Halloween shirts for local.
I should do that.
Plug something around Halloween time.
BoslerScreenPrinting.com. We just launched. We're doing a shirt of the month. It's all St. Louis artists. So, you know, if you're not from here, you might not care. But you might. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's great. Yeah,
people know who Vincent Price is. So I
he
mean,
was born here.
Yeah.
Different artists every month designing a shirt. You can buy the single shirt or you can sign up for the subscription. This month, Brittany Boynton made a very St. Louis-centric Halloween t-shirt.
Is she related to Barbara Boynton?
I don't know. I don't know her extended family. I don't even know a lot of her immediate family. Okay.
Sandra Boynton?
Okay.
So I signed up for the club. What if you just decide not to do it next month?
Well, what if you sign up for BarkBox and they decide to not do it next month?
Oh, are you on BarkBox level?
Jeez, you got it.
Wow. Bring the heat.
What if your buddy David Bark said, hey, I'm going to do this box for dogs, you know?
I don't know, man. I got burned on a t-shirt thing.
And he says, you know, like HelloFresh. Would you be like, oh, you're HelloFresh level? I mean, I print. My job is making t-shirts. I do that. Fine.
I was just being silly. I wasn't
serious.
Is that
funny?
I'm just saying, I want two more t-shirts, Matt, and they better
have paid for them. You're getting them,
and they better come via UPS. I don't want you dropping them off. I don't want you being like, hey, look,
he already said he mailed them to you.
I want those two shit priorities.
Four extra dollars knowing I was going to see you today. So you'd have some mail to open.
And who doesn't love getting mail? This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on X at Kevin R. Brackett. Follow me on the Real Spoilers Patreon, where I sometime have two guests on to talk about horror movies and Marvel movies.
What?
And follow me on Circle of Wizards, where that's another thing we could plug.
That's a real thing.
Video games. Circle of Wizards, subscribe to it. The second episode's dropping. It may be up by the time you listen, but we've got two eps out, a couple more in the can. We're talking about video games.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can follow my other podcast.
Yeah, the more successful one.
That doesn't need help. We need people to
find. We have so many Peloton listeners.
Yeah, right.
But you can also find the show online at facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget the Patreon, where Kevin sometimes has two guests on to discuss horror movies.
That's not right. But I think it's the other way around.
We need your support. So every time we have to fix it, we just upgrade computer equipment, to be able to provide video to you guys, and we're upgrading the cameras. So,
all 50 of you.
All 50 of the listeners?
No, the viewers of YouTube.
Oh, well.
We're getting there.
Hey, we're trying. Baby That's steps. What I'm saying. Baby Check steps. It out, though, because we are upgrading. Like, the graphics are upgraded. The video is upgraded. We're doing all this for YouTube. So check us out. Like I said, at least subscribe.
Whenever one of us cusses, a little animated chicken runs.
I know. We're going to start wearing makeup.
We'll get there. If we get 3 more Patreon subscribers, we can get the chicken graphic. But the thing is, if you subscribe to us, again, if you still like to listen on your phone and just listen to podcasts.
You're allowed.
You are, but the subscription, I think once we get to 500, do you know, Matt, you can get ads that play if you're, it's either 500 or 1,000.
I believe it's 1,000.
Is it 1,000? Okay, so we're at like the high 300s now, so just hit subscribe on there for us, and whether you listen or not, that will help us reach more people and get ads and everything.
So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Brophy, stop Satan by destroying the cameras. Get ready for a spoiler. Don't say it twice, 'cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.